You may sometimes see the screens go dark. They think they have figured out what it might be, as every time the air conditioner kicks on, it goes off. And I don't think you want it so steaming hot in here that it's like a sweat factory. So anyway, just be patient with that. That'll be getting taken care of. Before we begin, there are a number of prayer requests that I'd like to mention to you. First of all, one of them is in the bulletin. I'd like to ask you to pray for Alan Mills. He has surgery this Wednesday in Indianapolis for his kidneys. And then Thursday, Jessica Gardner goes in for, it's one of them three valves, not MRI, EM, one of those. But I can't remember what it was. Is Jessica here? Does she? Okay, anyway, it's supposed to check on her neck. Possibility that there are some problems there. Also like to ask you to pray for the kids who are at Youth for Christ camp. They left this morning at 3 o'clock from Owen Valley High School, North. My daughter, Tammy, is here for her 20th anniversary at Terre Haute North, and that's kind of on the brain. It's hard to believe that 20 years have gone by and she's been out of school, you know? So anyway, the young people who are there, and I hope I don't miss anybody, Eli Markland, Eric Hellman, Eli Carlson, and Chad and Anthony St. John from here. Am I missing anybody? Okay, those are the ones that Ryan and I came up with, so if we miss somebody, blame him. So be praying for them. They will be going to North Carolina, and they'll be back next Sunday. And then just before service today, Dawn Murphy came and asked if we might do something for Ryan. She was going to have a card, have everybody sign it, and then someone gave her a suggestion that we have a card shower for him. So Ryan is on a ship out in the middle of the Pacific, I take it, and he's there for 3 months. You can see that he's been in our prayer request there, and I believe it says three. Okay, he's going to be on the ship till October now, okay? And then it says he goes to Japan for 3 months and then Guam for 3 years. Well, he's been kind of out there on the ship by himself. So here's what we'd like to do next Sunday. If you will bring a card from you written to Ryan, bring it here and Dawn will send them, okay? Kind of in a kind of a card shower package. So if you would do that, that would mean a tremendous amount to Ryan. So try to keep that in mind. And we'll have I'll have Diana put it on Facebook to remind everybody about it as well. But next Sunday, bring it, and we'll have a basket back here where you can just drop the letter in, and then she will send it to him. Okay? Or a card. You know, just put a personal note in. Just don't get a card and say, me, you know. But it'd be nice to have just a personal note from him, encouraging him. Because that's a lonely life out on a boat, so on a ship. So be praying for Ryan as well. Okay, we are in a series. If you are visiting with us, we're in a series called Danger Toxic, Soul Reconstruction, and we're talking about radioactive. I'd like to ask you to turn to the scripture, Proverbs chapter 6. We're not going to read it now because we'll be reading it twice during the message, two different times. And I would like you to just have that ready so that when I suggest that we turn there, you're already there. So Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19. And if you would please join me in a word of prayer as we begin. We come before you, Father, today as the great I am. You told Moses that when he questioned, who should I tell them sent me? You said, tell them I am sent you. And they knew who you were. And so as we come into your presence today, we want to acknowledge you as the great I am. We want to acknowledge you as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We want to honor you as our majesty. We want to honor you as one who is worthy to receive all our praise and adoration. And we exalt you and we lift you up this morning. We want so much for this morning not to be about us, but to be all about you. That when we are in this place, we're not performing for an audience of many, but we are performing or doing or reading or singing for an audience of one, and you are that audience. So we lift our hearts, we lift our voices, and we lift our praise to you in honor and adoration and thanksgiving for who you are. Thank you for being God. Thank you for your power and your might and your majesty. Thank you for this opportunity of freedom that we enjoy in this country to come together and worship you. And we pray that you will help us not to take this for granted, but to realize how important it is that we lift you up and we exalt you. And Father, I pray for those who we have mentioned this morning who will be having surgery, those who have had surgery, those who are needing healing. And I know that as people walked into this room this morning, they walked in maybe with needing a physical healing. Maybe their heart was hurting. And I just pray that you will meet them at the point of their need. And that something that is sung, something that is said, something that is observed will somehow lift somebody up and show them you. We have been told in the scriptures that we are to not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And it's hard sometimes when we fight against the current. It's hard to find people and friends who pick us up instead of tearing us down. And so as the message is brought this morning, I pray that you will help us to see how we can make choices and good choices and right choices without sticking out like a sore thumb and being a person of derision, but instead a person who shows you, who makes wise choices and realizes that those that we include in our circle will either lift us up or tear us down. And so, Father, I pray for your Spirit to work in our hearts today. I ask that you will help us to learn, to listen to your Spirit, to your Word, and that as I bring this message, you will help me to step aside and that we will see Jesus and Jesus only. For it's in his name I pray. Amen. Stories abound about the importance and the joy of friendship and relationships. For example, Jay Kessler, who was a former president of Youth for Christ, once said his goal in life was to wind up with 8 men willing to carry one of his handles. Perhaps you've heard the story about Jack Benny and George Burns, who were friends for so many years. After Jack's death, they interviewed George Burns. And they asked him about the friendship, and he said, Jack and I have had a good friendship for over 55 years. He never walked out on me when I sang. I never walked out on him when he played the violin. We laughed together. We ate together. We worked together. And I suspect for all those 55 years, we almost always talked to each other just about every day. Maybe you've heard the story about, or you've seen the cartoon. If not, there was a cartoon in a magazine one time where a man was wearing one of those Lone Ranger masks holding a gun on somebody, and the caption says, "Give me all your valuables." And the next caption, it showed a man with a bag throwing all his friends in his back. Stories abound about friendships and relationships. And the truth of the matter is, and very frankly, those whom we hang around with will determine and can determine how we turn out. Friendships can either be those that build us up, or they can be what? Radioactive. What I'd like to do today is I want to take a tour a little bit through the book of Proverbs as we look at friendships and about relationships. And as we do that, I want to look at two basic types of people and what we're supposed to do with them. So first of all, let's talk about the people with whom we are to avoid. Now, I know that that sounds kind of strange to some of you. Why are you telling us to avoid people? Let's face it. We cannot win people to Jesus if we avoid them, right? I mean, you cannot totally isolate yourself and win people to Jesus. There's just no way you can do that. But what we need to understand is that the people we are exposed to on a regular, consistent basis have a great impact upon us. And as I've already said, they will either be those friends who will pick us up or they will be friends who will tear us down. And we have a choice to make. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33 says, "Bad company ruins," and some translation, "corrupts good morals." Very frankly, many times the people that we choose to put within our circle of friendships are not beneficial to us, but instead, they tear us down. George Washington had this quote, "Associate with men of good quality if you esteem your own reputation, for it is better to be alone than in bad company." Boy, he hit the nail on the head. It's so important that we choose the right people. So what kind of people should we avoid? Well, these are called by one of the authors that I have used to read. He calls this the toxic trinity. These are three types of people we need to avoid. Number one, the constant critic. You know those kind of people. It's either too hot or too cold. It's either too wet or too dry. My food is either undercooked or overcooked. You can't ever please them. You walk into a church, it's either too loud or too soft. It's either too cold or too hot. It's the sermon's either, well, we won't talk about the sermon. The music is too rocky or it's not fast enough, you know. And they're constant criticizing on what's going on. You know those kind of people. And those are the kind of people we need to avoid. It's interesting because you can go into the Old Testament and you can see the same thing. The people of Israel. Moses led them out of the promised land, or led them out of Egypt into the promised land. They complained before they got to the Red Sea. They complained about, well, yeah, now you bring us here. We're stuck here, and here comes the army. The Red Sea is parted. They go across, and immediately they begin complaining. They're hungry. We could have had leeks and onions by the now, and we're hungry, so God provides manna. Well, they get tired of manna, so they start complaining about not having anything to eat. So he gives them quail. Then they complain about having nothing to drink, so he gives them water. Someone has said, half the time, God wanted to wipe out the Israelites, and Moses talked him out of it. The other half, Moses wanted to wipe them out, and God talked him out of it. And that's a pretty good picture of the Israelites. They were complainers. Complainers bring us down day by negative day. Avoid them. Number two, the controllers. These are the kind of people who want their thumb on you and basically will try to impose or force their will upon you. It happens in marriages. I've seen it. A wife can't think. She can't breathe on her own without her husband telling her what to do, when to do it, where to do it, and how to do it. We do it to our children. We don't give them some freedom, and we control. And there are certain people who want to control our lives. They want to tell us what we can do, what we cannot do, and when we can do it. And we're to avoid those people. Pastors do it. Perhaps you've been to a church where a pastor has stood up and he has taken his Bible and basically either taken a phrase or two or thrown his Bible aside and said, "Now I say to you," and have used this like a club instead of a teaching tool. And they have become legalistic. You can't do this. You can't wear that. You have to wear this. You can't cut your hair. You can't let your hair grow long. You can't, you know, I mean, we can go on and on and on and on. And then there are people in the church who, if they don't get their will, if they can't force their will, then they cry. The controller. So we're to avoid the constant critic. We're to avoid the controller. The third person we're to avoid is the tempter. This is the person who, I don't want to say forces us, but almost leads us and causes us to do that which we shouldn't do, and we know we shouldn't. For example, the boyfriend or the girlfriend who is forcing you, leading you to have sex outside of marriage. Or how about the person who has a trouble with alcohol or smoking or drugs, and you hanging around people who lead you in that direction? We are to avoid those who are tempters. How about this? You have a rich friend who likes to make you feel small because you don't have as much as they do, and they're buying every toy after toy after toy, and you're trying to be conservative, and it's tempting to say, "Oh, let's just throw it out the window and let's get the plastic going." It's so easy to do. And these kind of people bring out the worst in us. Now, look at the scripture in Proverbs chapter 6. Let's read that together. And I'm going to read it this time because these are negative. These are people that are negative, people we should avoid. However, during the message, I'm going to flip-flop that and make it a positive. Okay? So let's read it together. There are six things that the Lord hates. Seven that are abomination to him. Haughty eyes, which are proud eyes. A lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked plans. Feet that make haste to run to evil. A false witness who breathes out lies. And one who sows discord among brothers. Now those are six, yes, seven things, he says, that the Lord hates. Notice he didn't say he hates the person, but hates the things that they do. Now I don't want to dwell on the negative, because what I really would like to do is I want to go next to people with whom we should connect. Now the book of Proverbs is big, talking about wisdom and also talking about friendships. For example, Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17, in the message says, "Friends love through all kinds of weather, and family stick together in all kinds of trouble." Now, that same verse in the New Living Translation says, "A friend is always loyal, and a brother is born to help in time of need." You see, it's a harsh reality that we face. Look again also at chapter 13, verse 20. "Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm." That verse is basically saying, whoever you hang around with, that's what you will become like, or that's who you'll become like. If you hang around a fool, he says, you're going to become a fool. If you hang around wise people, you'll become a wise person. The harsh reality is that simply, when we surround ourselves with certain kinds of people, we can expect to become like those people. And it's important that we choose the right kind of people. Now, before we get to the issue of who to connect with, there are two things we need to say. There are two items to clarify. Here's what you do. Number one, you set healthy boundaries. When you are choosing people to hang around, and we'll show you who those people are, you set healthy boundaries. Every farmer, Every rancher has boundaries. He sets up a fence. He sets, well, even dogs have invisible fences. We set up boundaries for our animals. We need to set boundaries for ourselves. We need to let people know ahead of time, here is where the line is drawn, period. I will not cross over that line. And here's the important thing. We need to set that before the situation comes up. We don't need to wait until we're into the heat of temptation and all of a sudden say, what am I going to do? Wednesday night, my small group met, and we went through some of this. And I told them the story of the person who, the girl who told her date, if you're going to come after me, you're going to have to climb over four men, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Because she took her Bible and placed it between them. Before it started, she set the healthy boundary and said, this is where it stops. That's what we need to do. We need to set healthy boundaries. Number two, make sure people know you will not act in a toxic manner. Let them know ahead of time, I will not participate in that. If you know somebody who tends to be a gossip, you tell them right up front, you want to hang around me, the gossip stops. Suddenly, they don't have anything to say. And you're going, silence. You let people right up front know you will not start with toxic behavior. If a person, for example, if you have a problem with alcohol, you let that person know right up front, I will not participate in that. You want me to go to that? I'm not going. You make the choice ahead of time. I will not act in a toxic manner. You want to be sexually pure? You let them know ahead of time. Don't even think about it. Me break a you fingers, you touch me. Let them know ahead of time that you will not act in a toxic manner. Okay, so what kind of people should we look at? Now, what we're going to do is take Proverbs chapter 6, the verses that we read, and I'm going to flip-flop them. Instead of making them a negative connotation, let's look at the positive way. Let's flip-flop and say, okay, these are the kind of people we ought to hang around. Number one, he says, don't hang around people with haughty eyes. That is pride. Here's what I want to say. Hang around people with a humble and teachable spirit. Hang around people with a humble and teachable spirit. These kind of people delight in serving other people and encouraging other people. I just finished a book last night called Leadership Excellence by Pat Williams, and he tells a story in there that so captured me, I wanted to share it. It's a story about, at that time, Governor Reagan, and he was running for, he was in the primary with Gerald Ford, and he had just spoken. And what he didn't know is that there was a group of blind children who had come to hear him speak. And one of the teachers of the blind students went to his aide and told him that they would like to meet Governor Reagan. That aide then went to an advisor, and Governor Reagan overheard it. And he went to him, he says, tell them I will meet them at the bus, but guys, I want no press. You don't tell the press. So he went to the bus. The blind children came. He talked with them, laughed with them, visited with them. And then he looked at him. He said, I bet you'd like to touch my face. Why would he do that? Because that's how blind people see. And Michael Reagan, his son, who wrote this story, said, I was suddenly impressed. My dad, how many politicians would not want a photo op for Time or Newsweek magazine at that time where a bunch of children are reaching up and touching his face? He said, but my father wasn't interested in that. He was only interested in serving those blind children. I thought, wow. But that's the kind of spirit we need. Those are the kind of people we need to focus on, that we need to bring around us, people who are humble and teachable. The second kind of person we need to, he says, to get rid of the lying tongue. So very simply, we need to be around people who tell the truth. Now, there is a way of telling a truth that you can be truthful but also be nice. You can be honest and do it kindly. You don't want someone coming up to you and blowing your doors off and saying, I'm just being truthful. People who tell the truth. Number three, he says, and hands that shed innocent blood. We need to find people who are sensitive, tender-hearted, and full of mercy. Friends need people who will extend grace to them. Because let's face it, we all fail. We all make mistakes. We don't need somebody who calls himself a friend who sits there and shoots us with both barrels and says, well, you made a mistake, too bad. But we do need people who will extend grace to us, who will extend mercy to us, who are tender-hearted and sensitive, and who will not use their power like a weapon. Number four, he says, a heart that devises wicked plans. We need to have people who have integrity that guides them. And you can include in their feet that make haste to run to evil. We need people who will have integrity to guide them. Integrity, another word, you could say honesty. Some people define integrity as who you are when nobody's looking, but we need to have somebody who we can call a friend or a group of friends who will be honest with us, but also are honest themselves. Number five, we're going to combine these next two. Heart that makes haste to run to evil and a false witness who breathes out lies. We need to find people who can keep confidences. You know, if you find a friend and you share something that's a deep, dark secret that is suddenly shared with somebody else, how much do you trust that person from that point on? You don't. And so we need to find people with whom we can share our secrets and know that they will keep our confidence. We need them not loose-lipped, but somebody we can trust. And the final one is one who sows discord among the brothers. Let's flip-flop that and say people. And this, to me, might be the most important. People who will lead us to a deeper intimacy with Christ. You see, there will always be people. And if you want to take the negative, there will always be people who will be divisive. That's what he talks about here. There will always be people who will be divisive. And they will do their best to rip other people apart. They are not the kind of people to hang around. And they are not the kind of people who will lead you to a deeper intimacy with Christ. What we need are people who will lead us to a deeper intimacy with Jesus. That when we are in their presence, we know that we have been in the presence of someone who loves Jesus. If someone is constantly pulling you away by the pull and the drag, it's time to draw the line and say enough is enough. I know that's harsh. You're saying, but I've had a friend for years and years and years, but every time you're around them, you find yourself pulled the other way. It might be time to draw a line and say, look, you know, I love you, I care about you, but you're detrimental to me. The truth of the matter is we are living real life. This is not a movie trailer. We are not living a life that is a pregame show. We're not even living a life that's a reality show, because that's a bunch of garbage. You know, I mean, most of that is not real anyway. We are living real. We have only one chance to make this life count. let's make it count for the good. As I was reading that book, I read a principle called the dirty shoulder principle. You know what that is? That doesn't mean that your shoulders get dirty and you wear dirty clothes. But what it is where people are constantly on your shoulders because you are lifting them up. That's what a friend does. They're standing on your shoulders because you're picking them up. And you're helping them to become a better person. You're helping them, if nothing else, than to at least come to see who Jesus is. Because they're standing on your shoulders are getting dirty. And you're picking them up and letting them see. Maybe it's time for some of us to become dirty shoulders. To have that dirty shoulder syndrome. Maybe it's time for some of us to make choices where we say, you know, enough is enough. This person is pulling me down. And instead of me picking them up, they're so strong they're pulling me down. Maybe it's time to cut a tie. Take a break. And allow yourself to be drawn closer to Jesus because you've chosen the right kind of friends. Your relationships can either be encouraging and productive, or they can be radioactive. You and I can be the only ones who make our choice. You cannot make mine. I cannot make yours. I cannot tell you, you know, if I were, you could ask me my opinion, and I might say, yeah, you might need to cut that relationship off. But you have to do it. I have to do it. And we make the choice on the relationships that we will choose. But the number one relationship question we have to ask is this person drawing me closer to Jesus, or are they pulling me away? That's the number one question. And if they're pulling you away, maybe it's time to draw a line and say enough is enough. Let's pray. And Father, I pray that you will help us to make wise choices. It's not easy in this world, and we were especially not made to go it alone. We were made to be with others. We were never meant to be an island. But man, some of the choices that we make and some of the people we put around us do nothing but drag us down and help us to realize that those are radioactive people, and they cause us more grief. Help us to be picky with our friends and to make right choices, and especially help us to choose those people who will draw us closer to you. And I pray that if there's somebody here today who needs to know Jesus, that they will understand the importance of coming to know the best friend of all, and that is Jesus. Speak to our hearts this morning. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. Let's sing.